Welcome to the Art Scene, presented each week by UALR Public Radio. The second annual UALR Opera Gala, on Thursday, March the 10th, is a chance for those of us who are looking at the voice department with interest, following last year's gala under its director, Dr. Rosella Ewing. She is my first guest, and brings us up to date on the developments and activities during the past year, and the program to be heard at the gala this coming Thursday.
The Great Hall is a wonderful space for performing and dining.
Now, is that sponsored by somebody? Because it's not cheap, that place.
It is not. We do have two presenting sponsors. Betty Richards is our presenting sponsor, and then also Colonial Wine and Spirits are providing the wine. So we do have two sponsors right now. We're also hoping to get some more table sponsors for a tabletop of 10. And I think that performances are well worth that.
The format is about the same. Are you going to have a break with the singers where you'll have some instrumentalists as well?
The only instrumental piece that we're doing is at the very beginning, where we have the Barber of Seville overture arranged for piano six hands.
Goodness, they must get their hands crossed.
I would assume so. At least bump elbows.
Because I was going to ask you if they would be accompanied for the singers with instruments, but it'll be piano.
It'll just be piano.
Who is the pianist?
Dr. Kyungun Na. She was new last year and has been a delightful collaborator. She and I did a recital last fall, and she's been just tremendous working with the students as their vocal coach.
What is her official title?
She is an assistant professor of a collaborative artist.
And so she helps with the pronunciation of Italian and French and all these other languages and stuff.
With the different languages and also with the artistic presentation of the songs.
Have you noticed a difference in your students?
I have. I really have. Since Dr. Na arrived, the performance on every level has gone up for the students. I feel like also their work ethic. Because they know that they're accountable for two teachers now, not just their voice teacher, but also their vocal coach. We've had some tremendous success, and a lot of the singers that will be on the gala have had success in the region. We'll have several winners from the regional National Association of Teachers of Singing competition that was in November of last fall. Down in Louisiana. And then we'll also have Kelly Singer, who recently won the district of the Metropolitan Opera.
Oh, yes.
National
we
Council.
Were all impressed with her.
Yes.
Now, do you encourage with the MONC program your students to go and just sit and learn what's going on?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's a tremendous experience for them. We also love for them to go see the final concert at Nats to see singers who are not as polished to sing a wide variety of singers.
It is, because I was thinking with the MONC, they're getting pretty firmly established in doing competitions and have a greater maturity than some of your students might.
Yes.
That they might get a bit intimidated.
Yes, exactly. Some of the competitors at the MONC are also already doing small roles or covering larger roles for different houses. So they're already professional artists.
No, and I was impressed. I thought the quality this year was overall very good.
Yes, yes.
They had it. And of course, Kelly was so sweet. She just caught the attention and the hearts of the audience.
She's delightful to work with, yes.
That's good. So, of the singers you've got this year, are they all the same, or did some of them graduate between last year?
Some of them graduated, and we've got some new singers. But we'll also have some of our old favorites, like Kelly Singer and Nina Spinner and Daniel Fultz Morrison. I hope that people will also be able to see the growth that some of our singers have made over the last year.
And you don't mean physical?
I don't mean physical, no.
Tell me something. Have you noticed that they're coming out more responsively
to talk about what they're singing. You know, when you give them work to do and the coach gives them work to do, they have the confidence now to ask for coaching, in other words, and that way can absorb it better, and they're beginning to realize how much they need to know physically, mentally, emotionally, in all these things.
I would say that you just described perfectly what's going on with a lot of our students. And that's one of the ways I teach, is trying to help them increase their awareness of what they have to do physically, what they have to do in order to prepare a good performance in terms of researching the character, or at least delving into the poem of an art song, and understanding the nuances and being able to be moved by those in their performance.
And what's the balance between men and women's voices that you've got this time?
Let's see. It's about 2-1. So we do have more women than men, as always, but we've got some wonderful performances by men. Let's see. We have, on the first set, we have Andrew Gerstenberger, who was a very new student last year, and he'll be singing Beautiful Dreamer. On the second set, we have Jeremy Couch, who is a returning student, and then also Daniel Morris. And Daniel Morris will actually be giving us a little taste, one of a couple of different tastes of our spring production. He'll be singing Hamlet's Drinking Song. And then in the final act, we'll have Daniel Fultz Morrison singing Deines mein ganzes Herz by Franz Lehár. So we'll have some operetta as well.
Yes. And opera?
And opera, we've got some Samson and Delilah. Nina Spinner is going to sing Printemps qui commence. Amelia Locken is going to be singing O mio babbino caro. And we're doing a couple of different sneak peeks at our spring production. So we'll have the beginning of the salad course. We'll start with a trio, Sing for Your Supper from the Boys from Syracuse. And we will be ending the night with the Act One finale from West Side Story, the Tonight Ensemble. Musicals and operas inspired by Shakespeare. We've got two tenors and baritone and I believe a bass baritone.
And the girls.
And the girls, we have sopranos and mezzos, and of course Nina, who's our contralto.
The singers themselves, are they approaching these works fairly new? They haven't had as much time to prepare, or because after last year, when you were looking at what you were hoping to be able to work with this year,
yes,
you were turning over in your mind which things you would do, what you had done last year that you felt had really gone over well.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they come to see something sort of an opera gala, you've got to have one or two opera.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Yes, I believe that most of these pieces the students have at least started working on last semester. So they have had a little more time than just the last couple of weeks to get started on them.
And they're beginning to work together, duets and
yes,
trios and
yes.
things. In the opera that's coming up, mm-hmm. how they get on with orchestral style?
We're not quite stretching our wings to the orchestral style yet, to having an orchestra, just because a lot of the singers are so young that my priority as voice teacher as well as opera director is their healthful singing. And also it would be very difficult to get an orchestra that would be able to play both all the operatic selections from different operas and then also the musical theater selections from different musicals.
Yes. No, that is a mixed bag that
yes.
might test the confidence of some of the singers. But it sounds as though you really are hitting some of the more modern, popular choices that have already begun to, well, like even with the Lehár, mm-hmm. To achieve an operatic basis in terms of respect because
yes.
of the sound of the voice, and then of course with the Bernstein as well.
Yes, absolutely.
And that is now very much acceptable, I think, and it's rather fun to look back over some of the older musical works that the young students that you've got probably don't even know now.
Right.
That they
right.
haven't heard sing, you know. And there's some wonderful melodies in
yes.
those Broadway musicals.
Well, I grew up on Julie Andrews' original cast recordings of Camelot and My Fair Lady and all the rest of it, and all the golden age of musical theater.
Because I was thinking some of them you don't really hear on them. They were talking about Brigadoon because somebody's putting
yes.
that on. And that has some lovely songs.
It really
in
does,
it.
Yes. yes. Yeah.
And has that magical, where is this village suddenly appearing every 24 years or something.
Right, right. Oh, I thought it was 100 years.
100 years.
Something like that, yes.
In the Highlands of Scotland.
Yes.
yes. So what else would you like to push or emphasize for this particular program?
One of the things that I think people have really enjoyed in the past is that there is a student performer at every table. And I think that being able to have a little conversation with our students, who are just such a delightful group, is a wonderful opportunity for our patrons so that they can have that personal connection with the students that they are supporting.
Now, you mentioned the opera.
Yes.
And this is something that comes up the end of April, you say?
Yes.
Now, is that going to be a fully staged, even though they're excerpts?
Even though they're excerpts, it is going to be fully staged. It's not going to be like concert where they're just standing. We're going to have movement, stage movement. And although since it is a conglomeration of lots of different things, the set will be more suggestion than actual location.
And will you perform it in the Stellenbosch Smith like you
Yes, we will. Yes, we will.
That was Dr. Rosella Ewing, Assistant Professor of Voice and Opera at UALR. The Opera Gala is Thursday, March the 10th, in the Great Hall, Clinton Presidential Center. The program begins at 7 p.m. For more information, call UALR Music Department, 501-569-3294. One of the most successful events, both in the event itself and the joint participation between UALR and the Central Arkansas School District, is the annual Shakespeare Scenes Festival, begun by Dr. Ros Knutson just on 20 years ago. Her successor, Associate Professor Chris McAbee, now in her sixth year on the English faculty, works enthusiastically with members of the teachers and students 5th through 12th grades. Chris, incidentally, applied for the post at UALR because of the Shakespeare Scenes Festival. She has been watching the weather anxiously. Last year, one of the 2 days was lost to snow and ice. She is my second guest and has brought with her one of her students, Jeffrey Bearer, who works as Master of Revels.
I have a special place in my heart for the elementary students from Warren Dupree who are coming back again this year.
Now, how many years have they?
They've been coming every year since, I think since it started. Rick Crone, who is the teacher of that fifth grade class, has switched schools, I think, 3 or 4 times in order to keep being able to bring his students here to the Shakespeare Scene Festival. The festival will be entering its 20th year next year, so I think he's been coming for quite some time, at least every year since I've been here, so that's 6. They're the youngest, and that's why I'm so charmed by them, I think. It's also wonderful to have them in the audience because the high school students are so much more well-behaved when there are these 10-year-olds sitting there being so engaged. Last year, they did a beautiful production of Macbeth versus Star Wars, which was essentially Macbeth with lightsabers. It was really fascinating because it explored the nature of ambition in both the Star Wars franchise and Macbeth, in which Macbeth ended up kind of becoming Darth Vader over the course of the production. And it was really lovely to see how well thought out these 10-year-olds were their production was, how well they were able to really confront the big and complicated issues of ambition in this play that most people think is only for adults, but also map it onto something that they understood much better, like Star Wars.
Any of them go to see the reps met with?
I hope so. One of my great hopes for the Shakespeare Scene Festival is that it will inspire a love of theater for the students who come. And also, I think because it's such a fun and casual and engaging event, I hope that it gets rid of some of the intimidation they may feel about being in a theater, so they can both learn how to be audience members and also learn that it's something that they can enjoy and go to and have fun, and they don't have to sit there and be bored with a bunch of adults.
So now we get back to Shakespeare Scenes. And this tradition that you said is coming into or in its 20th year?
Yes.
And I remember you saying what fun you had your first year, and it must be subsequently, that in your class at UALR, there are students who have been through the Shakespeare Scenes and can remember their experiences and get a bit of a thrill with it. And this is something that is a part of the tradition. And encouraging that they want, but to be able to come with that in their background could in itself encourage a relaxed and somewhat involved student instead of a freshman who doesn't really know where his or her feet go.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think that one of the other great appeals, in addition to making it more comfortable for students to go to the theater, is to make it more comfortable for them to go to a university campus and to see, you know, a big stage and to see the way that, you know, the professors aren't intimidating and we're regular people. I think that that's nice and hopefully makes them think about UALR seriously for their future choices.
Yes.
We've always got lots of lovely student volunteers as well that help us with sort of the herding of the children, if you will. And I know that they're always very welcoming to the schools that come as well. And all of that, I feel, works together really to make it a wonderful and welcoming environment for them.
Yeah. Now, you've got how many schools this year?
This year we have about 7 schools coming over the course of the 2 days.
Is that more or less?
It's fewer than we've had in the past. And part of it is that we've usually tried to arrange around things like spring productions for the, you know, or testing, and we weren't able to work it out this year because I got really worried about weather, frankly, after last year's issue. So I set it on days that I knew we could get the theater. And so we'll have a little bit of a smaller program, which is actually good because when it was getting where we would have 6 productions in one day, it became kind of untenable where we had to start looking at doing a 3-day festival. So this way we can have a much more organized and, I think, committed group of performers without the chaos and hectic nature of trying to make sure everybody gets their stage time.
Right. And we mustn't forget as well that as entertaining as Shakespeare is to everybody, children do have limited attention spans, and so difficult to get them to sit through 2.5 hours of Shakespeare.
So you wouldn't find the schools encouraging some of the other members of the class who are not involved with the actual performance?
I think that that would be lovely if they brought other students that, you know, their teachers would be gracious enough to let them leave their classes to go and support their friends and classmates, you know, to do something. And it's a wonderfully educational experience. I can't see why any teacher would be against it. So perhaps that's something we can encourage.
Yeah, I mean, Central High is doing that. They've done that traditionally.
Good.
They usually bring a couple classes, an English class and a drama class to perform, and then bring several other classes that are doing the same curriculum to just watch. And then the hope is, of course, that they'll come and perform again in the future. Another issue that I like about the Shakespeare Scene Festival is that it teaches that there are many aspects to stagecraft that are not just the acting. So to have the group of audience members from the classes, but then to also know that there are students backstage working on this performance who are, you know, helping with the props or who have designed the stage.
And sometimes the most beautiful sets.
Yes.
Like you can't imagine what they show up with, and they're so creative and so ingenious with the ways that they construct. You know, for Midsummer Night's Dream, the way they put together a forest in 35 seconds while the curtain's closed, it's very impressive.
Yes.
Yes.
It's something you ought to feel there should be awards given for
this
and that.
I write letters to each of the teachers and thank them for their participation because we don't want to create a competition. But, you know, they all do such wonderful things that each class brings its own unique take on the plays or on how to deal with the stagecraft since they can't, you know, put up a scenery in advance, get to reward them and to honor them for the contributions that they make. We have it ranging from, you know, students who are in an English class that may not be studying acting to the advanced acting classes at high schools. It's hard to make it a competition per se because we don't want to discourage the students who are just beginning to think about what
theater
is for.
No, I was thinking more of what you've just described as the sets.
Mm-hmm.
Those can be done by anybody. It doesn't have to be those who are particularly good in positions on the stage. Mm-hmm. Or
absolutely. Voice. Well, and it teaches a life lesson as well. You know, everybody in the theater has their job, but no job really can be seen as more important or less important than any other. If you don't have the lights, you can't see anybody. And if you don't have the actors, you've got nothing to look at. And if you don't have the sets and so on and mm-hmm. so forth. And so I think that that's a wonderful thing to teach children early on. And there really are so many opportunities to compete in theater going forward, especially once one gets to high school. I think it is best, you know, everybody gets a participation award at this age, you mm-hmm. know.
And that's why we always conceive of it as a festival, right? It's a celebration of learning and collaboration. We don't want them to feel like they're in front of a panel of judges on American Idol.
Exactly. I mean, it's paramount that they're given a level of comfort on stage and encouraged to develop that level of comfort. And if your first experience on stage is when you're getting judged, it's hard.
Now, last year was the one particular one that had a standout.
I'm so charmed by those fifth graders and their production of Macbeth versus Star Wars. I also really liked that a few of our middle school, Sheridan Middle School classes came, and they were all doing Midsummer Night's Dream as part of their eighth grade curriculum, but each of them had a really different take on Midsummer Night's Dream. And I think that that teaches them really important lessons about the way that theater works in the complications of Shakespeare, that there's so much left to interpret that it really depends on how you want to play it out on the stage. So I think on the one hand, they knew each other because they all went to Sheridan Middle School, but they also didn't know what they were doing in each other's classes. And they all knew that they were reading Midsummer Night's Dream. So I thought it was really fun to see one did like a 50s sock hop style and another did a much more traditional, you know, forest and fairies version. And so to see those different applications of the same story, I think, taught them a lot about why we still talk about Shakespeare 400 years later.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so this year.
Yes. This year we have, again, the fifth graders are coming and they'll be doing Politically Incorrect Julius Caesar. So I'm not sure what that will involve, but I know it will be delightful.
I'm really excited to see that, actually.
No, me too.
I'm envisioning some sort of Saturday Night Live type thing.
Yes, who knows? Who knows? They are always cutting edge, these fifth graders, so we'll find out. We have a new school coming, at least for since I've been running, from Episcopal Collegiate School. They're going to be doing a production of Much Ado About Nothing, which is fun. We rarely get that one, and yet we're getting it twice this year. Again, on Friday, the Henderson Middle School class is putting on Much Ado About Nothing. So that'll be a delight for me. We also have Horace Mann Middle bringing Romeo, Beatrice, and Toto, too. So I believe this is a production informed by The Wizard of Oz. We have some scenes from Macbeth. I believe we're going to lose poor Banquo, and some scenes from Perryville High. And Central High is also doing Julius Caesar. I'm really excited, too, because the Arkansas School for the Deaf is bringing a group of students to watch. I know in the years past they've participated, and I hope that, you know, they'll be inspired this year. So we'll have interpreters, and
yeah,
I think it'll
be wonderful.
Really, really fun. And we have lots of interactive things for the audience to get involved in, so I think it'll be really great to have the Arkansas School for the Deaf participating this year.
Is the sign-up laid on by the school or by you?
Through UALR. I just went through the usual request form, and they hired two interpreters to come, and I think that'll be really great. And I also think it's really great for the other students who are not attending Arkansas School for the Deaf to see the accommodations being made, and that's always like a learning experience, I think.
Do you have some singers?
Sometimes, yes. A few years ago, I think this was 2014, some students in a middle school wrote their own song. I think maybe it was part of Midsummer Night's Dream. And it was really, they were just so visibly nervous. And as they began to sing, got more and more comfortable because the audience, you can just feel the support in the audience of everyone saying, don't be nervous. And it was quite lovely that, you know, she got through the song and finished it and everyone clapped. And normally people hold their applause to the end of a scene. So it was quite nice. We do encourage them to bring, if they want to bring music, to bring it on a recording. And then we have the people doing the lights and the sound. Yes. But we've had students bring, you know, guitars or, you know, smaller instruments to play along as part of the productions before. And that's quite nice, too. And then we often ask one of my colleagues, Frank Thurman, to come and do a demonstration of his lute because he plays the lute, which is very rare this day and age.
it's hard to find a lute player.
It is hard to find a lute.
So, right.
he brings his lute and shows it and demonstrates it to the students, and they get a sense of what a Shakespearean guitar might have looked like.
And really what sort of music might have accompanied the production. So often we see modern productions of Shakespeare when, particularly in the film versions, where they put modern music set to it. So it's really interesting to hear what sort of accompaniment might actually have happened at the Globe at the time when they were being performed.
Have you had, in doing the Shakespeare scenes before you came in, anybody do a rock performance?
Hmm. Not that I'm aware of. I think there's been rock-inspired kind of attitudes, certainly. And we often see that with the younger students where they'll do some sort of more modern adaptation or, you know, the sock hop 50s style, right? That's the more advanced, say last year with Parkview or the Central High advanced drama classes. Those actually tend to be the most traditional because those students are focusing more on articulation and language. And they'll tend to do things like classic scenes where they'll choose a few small dialogues or a monologue, a soliloquy, and their most advanced students will perform those in, you know, kind of bare stage without the accompaniment of any kind of heavy metal or the like.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in pursuing the thematic elements of the plays rather than the actual technical elements of the plays, it kind of brings the history a little bit closer. It's a lot easier for a young mind to access the 1950s, I think, than the 1600s. That just seems so impossibly long ago to a young mind. And also it speaks, as you were saying earlier, to why we still talk about Shakespeare today. Those same storylines are still good and they still work and they still speak to human nature. And so you can tell the story just as effectively, whichever decade one wishes to set it in. Interesting tidbits about Shakespeare and how Shakespeare's found his way into your life without you knowing. And one of the ways that we do that is actually to share common expressions and colloquialisms that people have been using but have no idea they've been quoting Shakespeare all along.
So what have we missed?
Mostly just excited to see the transition between the students when they arrive in the morning and they're super, super nervous and they think they will not be able to do it. And then to see them so relieved and excited and just pumped at the end. That's my favorite part by far. And I can't wait to see.
You could almost think of it as a transformative experience, especially if it's somebody's first time on stage. I mean, it really is such a lovely theater. When you're young and you haven't performed before, a college theater is pretty much Radio City Music Hall to you. And so it is very exciting. And it's great to watch them become comfortable in a space like that.
And do they have a sense of the history of this program?
I usually do make a few remarks at the beginning to say how long we've been going on and to always thank Roz Knudsen and the Folger Shakespeare Library who inspired this kind of project.
Chris McAbee, Associate Professor in the UALR English Department and Director for the Shakespeare Scenes Festival, assisted by one of her students, Jeffrey Bearer, as Master of Revels. The Shakespeare Scenes Festival will be held in the University Theatre, UALR Center for the Performing Arts, this Thursday, March the 10th, and Friday, March the 11th, 9:30 a.m. to noon each day, featuring Central Arkansas students 5th through 12th grades, free and open to the public. And this week's Art Hub special. Next Sunday, March the 13th, the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra and the Arkansas Symphony's Youth Orchestra come together for their annual side-by-side concert, 7 p.m. in the Mormel High School Performing Arts Center. Don't miss it. And Schoolhouse Rock Live just opened in the Arkansas Arts Center Children's Theater and runs through March the 25th. And that concludes this week's program.
Please join us next weekend at the same time. I'm Ann Nicholson. Thank you for listening.
The Art Scene is a presentation of UALR Public Radio.